Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the kingdom of humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rooster Teeth Podcast.
Hi.
Hey.
This week brought to you by Dollar Shave Club, FanDuel, and Squarespace.
Yeah, look, there they are. There.
Woo!
thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show.
How long have we had that intro?
Since we started doing the video podcast 3 years now?
It was September of 2012, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
Remember we got that and we're like, all right, well, this is just temp.
We didn't have that to begin with, did we?
I feel like we did.
It was
did.
Pretty early on, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been like 3 years?
I remember we used that in like advertisement for the live stream podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
That like little spinny microphone thing.
Man, 3 years.
It's a long time. It's almost exactly 3 years.
Yeah.
We should maybe
it was like right after PAX that we started doing it.
Yeah. We should have a celebratory one.
We should make another one.
We should have a masturbatory one, I think.
Whoa.
Is it really every podcast like some form of masturbation? It's like, whoa. I'm so interesting. People are going to listen to what I have to say for an hour and a half.
Guys, my mom texted me this morning. I am not allowed to talk about masturbation or poop anymore on the podcast.
So or at the fucking's okay then.
Yeah.
I like how she put those in the same category.
As long as there's at least one other person involved.
So are you going to talk about that orgy you had?
I guess it's fair game.
Yeah, right.
Who are we?
Oh, I'm Gus.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks for joining us, Aaron.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Why don't you thank me and Brandon?
Because you all are normal. You all are regular. Aaron's like...
We're normal.
I'm weird.
Aaron's like a treat. It's unusual to have Aaron.
I agree, Gus. I agree.
He's a delicious treat.
Nice haircut.
I want that haircut. Yeah.
You don't have the same hair texture, though.
I've been trying to find a new look.
Barbara sent me to this hair salon. It's a great hair salon.
Barbara has my mic.
It's a nice mic. But she sent me to this hair salon, and she just booked the appointment, and I went and did it. She did not tell me how much it would be, and I was quite surprised when I went to the counter.
It wasn't that bad.
A lot more than I thought it was going to be.
It's
For a woman's haircut, it's, or whatever you guys get, a trimming.
How much was it?
It was like, with tip, I can't even say.
What was it before tip?
Before tip, it was $55.
That's expensive.
That's really expensive.
It's a nice place.
And with
though.
Tip, it was $56.
Chris. I don't understand. Why do women get charged more for haircuts? Like, is there really like that much more work involved with a woman's haircut than a man's haircut?
I honestly think it would be the other way around.
I think so too.
Because with a girl's haircut, especially if they have long hair, you're usually just trimming it up or like
you're just taking
fixing
length
the length
off. And
with guys, you need to like contour to the scalp and do all this like weird. Magical haircut.
But how often do you get a haircut?
Me?
Yeah.
I should be getting one every like 2 to 3 months.
Yes, for a guy you go by all the time. Yeah.
But I haven't got one in a while, so my hair is kind of like.
I feel like I see women are typically charged more than double what men pay.
Yeah, my haircuts I think cost. I usually get them when I get highlights, so it's hard to know, but I think my haircuts cost about like $90.
See, that's crazy.
Yeah, but how much do they charge for a woman's haircut at Supercuts?
They don't do women's haircuts, I don't think. It's Supercuts.
They just give haircut.
Chris gets
hit with a K. Trademark of Supercuts.
I was going to say, Chris gets the cheapest haircuts in the world.
But that's why Chris looks like that.
Yeah, that's true. It looks like someone blasted his hair onto the back of his head with a cannon. They're just like, boom, and then it just was all right. All like that.
Yeah,
do you all remember the Flowbee? It was like the
device that you used to cut your hair?
Yeah, it was like clippers and blades you could cut your hair with, and you attached it to a vacuum, and that's how it powered, and you would just basically vacuum your head with clippers.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You don't...
Well, I also probably...
It was an old product. Like, they stopped making it a long time ago.
Is it used for girls, too?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Haircut with a K. That's all it gave.
How great would it be to go to an expensive salon and they just get out that vacuum cleaner thingy and they're just like...
Or like a bowl and just cut around it.
It could be like... I want to open a hipster haircut barbershop and that's the only two haircuts you give. You get the Flowbee or the bowl cut.
Nice.
And it's like authentic with like an actual bowl that you
metal
cut around.
Bowl, yeah.
And like a trash bag around your arms so it catches all the hairs.
Right.
And special like mustache treatments too.
And I want to charge like $95 for it. No, mustache treatments.
I also, I think it's $90 after tip. I think it's like 80, like 75 or 80 for my haircut.
That's too much.
$90 with a mandatory $90 tip.
Yeah.
Mm. This place that I sent you, I forgot to tell you in advance. I don't understand this at all. They don't accept anything but cash tips. Like, when you're filling out your credit card receipt, they don't allow you to add a tip on there. They only take cash tip.
They have a little mailbox for the tips that I found out. Yeah, it's like
For each person?
Yeah, for each person.
Okay. It's no one knows what you
tip. It's like a mail slot or whatever. And so it's anonymous tipping, but I saw an old lady writing her name on it. She was like,
I usually write my name because I tip well, so I want them to like me.
She was writing her name on it. I think she thought she was tipping well, but she put like $3 in or something like that. She was really elderly, and she was like, she just did such a great job on my hair. And she got it like three crisp ones and was like, dunk. Was like,
you could take a date to the movies, order a giant Coke, get popcorn, and still have enough money left for ice cream afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm so glad at the place I go to now.
She's old.
You just put the tape in the receipt.
Ethel.
Tip in the receipt, like every other place in the world, and then the person gets it. The place I went to for years, you had to walk back to the salon and then like put the money on their desk.
Oh yeah.
And you've already said goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? Like you can't say I'll be right back with your tip. You say goodbye and then you come in and it's like the most awkward thing in the world.
I remember my mom used to do this thing at the hairdresser I used to go to in Ottawa. They usually had a different person washing your hair than the person doing your haircut.
Mm-hmm.
So when she tipped the hairdresser, she would always give like a toonie to the person who washed your hair too. And she's like, thanks for the hair wash. It's like, sweet, $2.
A toonie. It seems like the washing the hair would be the easy job, unless you're dealing with like a really gross head.
Yeah.
So, you know, other countries always get on the U.S. about tipping food servers and not paying waiters and waitresses enough. Do other countries also tip their hairdressers? Like, Canada doesn't count because they're close enough to the U.S.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, Australia, they don't tip at all.
Right, but what about, like, hairdressers?
I think that's, the same deal.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
What about Australia? I don't know why I thought they did something. Like, valets or, you know, something like that. It's...
Right.
Well, I think the theory is that people in other countries get paid enough.
Right,
that they don't need tips.
But hairdressers don't fall into that same category like waitstaff do in the U.S., where they have to be paid a minimum amount.
Yeah.
I think. If I know. I've never worked at a hair
salon. Well, we're not live right now, so we can't find out.
Yeah, this
instantly.
Is pre-taped because of the Labor Day holiday.
What?
Thanks for the holiday. In my day, we used to work through Labor Day.
Aaron, told me this was live.
Aaron is now finding out it's not Monday night.
See you later.
Aaron, we have to be careful. We have to censor you. You're too much of a wild man. You mentioned... Sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent here. Aaron mentioned valets, which made me think about a crazy story. It's really not that crazy. You were a valet?
I was, but continue with your story.
So maybe you can give me some insight into this. You know, I was up in the Seattle area last week. I was there for some meetings and then for PAX. And I went and I ate at this really nice, like, it was too fancy of a restaurant for me.
Yeah.
And I went there. It was really, really good food. But when I got there, I pulled up in my car and there was a valet service because it's a fancy place. And I get out of the car and the valet's like, all right, you know, we'll take your car. And he starts driving off. And I'm like, he didn't give me a ticket. So then I go to the other valet who's standing there and I'm like, you know, are you all the actual valets? I said, do I get a ticket or something? Oh, no ticket. We'll remember you. We'll bring your car back.
What?
I was like, all right. It's like, this doesn't seem right.
This is also like a really nice
place.
It's
a really fancy place and they wouldn't give you a ticket because they'd be like, they'd know your name before you came
probably
out.
Probably. Yeah.
They'd be like, Mr. Schroller, here's your, you know, Prius or whatever. And then it's right there and you wouldn't need a ticket because that would almost be offensive.
I went in, ate, and I was like, they're not going to have my car. I'm going to have to tell them which one it is. Walked out. my car was waiting for me, engine on, you know, doors open. By the time
turns
I got
out
to
they
the
never
front door.
Took it away. It just stayed there the whole night.
I saw them drive it off. I was like, how did they get it back?
I would forget something every day. I'd be like, is this your car? If not, it's your lucky day.
Yeah.
Or not.
My brother used to have this thing. Well, he still does this. My brother works in the service industry, and he valets every now and then, but he waits for a really, really nice car. And he does it at, you know, the really nice hotels here in town. He waits for something really nice, like a Rolls Royce or a Bentley or something like that. And right before he gives the car back, he gives it a really good fart. And so as soon as they open it up, it's just this waft of fart. And the people have sent complaints to, like, the Driscoll and the W and stuff like that. And they'll be like, there was an obnoxious odor in our vehicle when we got it. And we had to roll down the window and air it out for 3 blocks before it left. It lingered with the car.
Of course, every time they would refer to his farts as obnoxious.
Obnoxious smells. And my brother Lynn, he's so proud of those things. He's like, it's his way to stick it to the man. In his weird way, is farting in really nice vehicles.
Can they get soaked in?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's that really nice leather that's still kind of absorbing things. It's supple, like,
soft leather.
You know, calf leather, and it just absorbs those farts. Like a fart absorbing machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron McKee. You're a writer here, right?
I am.
Yeah, you're a genius.
Thank you. That was the best thing I ever came up with.
We got to come up with a term for that, like farting in a car. And handing it over to someone else.
It's like
some like German word for that.
Farfengo.
Farfengo.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't think I've ever had that. One time I dropped my car off at a valet here in Austin. And so I got to the restaurant at like dusk. So I was wearing my sunglasses. And we go to lunch a lot. So you see, I keep my sunglasses like in my center console. So we get there, wear my sunglasses, and I swap them out, put my normal glasses on, leave my sunglasses in the center console. Valet takes it away. By the time I'm done eating, it's nighttime. So I come back out, get my car, take it home. Next morning, I get in my car, my sunglasses are gone. I'm like, motherfucker. And they're prescription sunglasses. I don't know why anyone would even take those. mean, so I go down to the restaurant, I'm like, listen, I don't know how to say this, but your valet stole my sunglasses. I'm like, no, he didn't. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure he did. Then they're like, no, sir, you just misplaced your sunglasses. I said, I don't put those sunglasses anywhere else.
Also, like, that's like a harsh thing to say to you. Like, shouldn't they be like, oh, well, let's check and ask
him. I have something to say on that, but you keep...
Yeah, going. Then I argued with them. Then they're like, oh, well, you know, we had an outside valet company. It's not us. Like, well, let me talk to them. Eventually, they gave me a check for like... I had just bought those sunglasses too. They were like a week old. Uh-huh. They gave me a check for the replacement valet. I had to go buy another pair. So it's just obnoxious.
Yeah, and it's like, you don't look like the guy that's going to go around scamming valets.
Yeah.
Like, I understand if it's, like, you know, young, shady. Yeah, I know. I imagine, but...
That's why, like, you know, valet... Like, when I worked as a valet, it was one of those things, like, no one wanted to take anything from a car because people are already looking for something to be taken.
Yeah.
And so, like, even if you don't take anything, which, you know, I rarely never took something, but even if you didn't take something, someone's going to accuse you of, like, you know, taking sunglasses. Or this one guy accused me of ruining his transmission. Because
Did you fart on it?
No, I didn't. That's my brother. I don't fart in vehicles.
At all.
I take naps in them or something. But, you know, like when I was, I drove it back around and the car had like 300,000 miles on it. And when I drove it back around, it just died. I mean, right there on the drive. And the guy's like, what did you do? And I was like, your car's a piece of shit and it's old. What do you mean? What did I do? And he was like, you guys are going to have to pay for this. I'm like, no, what? And so then, you know, the manager comes out. And he's like, Aaron, what'd you do? It's like, I drove the car. I did my job. And he's like, all right. You know, and they ended up buying his transmission and all this
really?
Stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
He probably did that strategically. He's like, my car is on its last leg. I'm going to take it to some poor valet kid. He's going to drive it. It's going to bust.
That should totally not be the valet company's fault. Unless you like throw it from drive into reverse as you're driving or
right.
something like that.
I didn't even do a J-turn into the drive or anything. I just drove it right there. I didn't do my normal stuff like donuts in the parking lot or anything. It was just a pure drive. And I still got accused. The thing is like a valet company has to fight them against. It's like a fight that they don't want to do. And they have insurance anyway. So they're like, well, we'll just pay for this one. And if it gets to be where we're using up our $50,000 retainer or whatever for the year, then, yeah, we'll start fighting things. But it's easier to just go like, yeah, we'll cut you a check.
Whatever. Yeah. Do valets. Sorry, this is going to become the valet podcast.
Yeah.
Do valets look down? Like, let's say you're parking at like a fancy restaurant and someone drives up with like a shitty beat up 300,000-mile car, like our valet's like, gosh, I don't want to drive that one. Like, do you look down on the people who get out of those cars?
It's not looking down. It's, I think there's...
Or did you look down?
No, I never look, because I've driven shitty cars. I still drive shitty cars. And so and I tip well, valets and stuff like that. It's more of a thing, like, you think that you may not get a good tip. You still provide the same service, mm-hmm. or at least I did. But, like, you see a car like that, you're like, there's something to be said for how people take care of their vehicles, mm-hmm. or how they take care of their affairs in general. So, like, if it's a really dirty car and it's got, you know, food in it and hamburgers and roaches or whatever, you know, it's like, I'm probably not going to get $5 from this, you know? And so, you know, that's the only thing. But as far as, like, you know, them pulling up to Sullivan's or something and, you know, old beat up Chevy or whatever, it doesn't matter.
What's your stance on, you know, how if, like, you're staying at a hotel and you pull up to the hotel and there's those guys outside that open the doors for you of the car? Like, I don't tip those guys because I could do that myself. I appreciate the gesture and that it's, like, fancy and all that stuff. But I'm not going to carry around a bunch of ones so I could tip the guy who did this for me.
Yeah, and they get sassy. I was in Vegas and a guy went to get my luggage because I had the hotel hold on to it until my flight. And at that point, normally I would have given something, but he came up to me and I was just like, you know what? You and your hotel have taken enough of my money, sir. I'm sorry, but I cannot give any more. And he was sassy.
Well,
he
obviously didn't say that to him, right?
No.
Okay. No, so maybe that's why he was sassy.
He's bigger than me. But I mean,
he got sassy after I like talked shit about him in his hotel.
Getting like grabbing luggage, just like there's some things I can do myself. Like, have you ever just told the valet that when you valet a car, look, man, I see my car over there. I don't want to wait in this line. Can you just give me my keys and I will just go get my car and drive away?
I've never seen my car. I've never seen like my car that close. Normally, I park like in a lot somewhere else.
Oh. No, sometimes it's close.
It's such a funny conversation. It's like, when you have your car and the valet is just off to the right and your car's right there.
I've never had my car valeted, so I can't really relate to you guys. Yeah.
Let's exclude Barbara from this podcast.
So you were talking about like the bags in Vegas. One time I was staying at a hotel in Vegas and the same situation where my flight wasn't until later, so I had to check my bags.
Yeah.
And I was going to pick them up later. So I took my bags. And normally, I don't know. I never know what the proper etiquette is. Like, who do you tip? Who do you not tip? So, like, I went to drop my bags off. And I always thought you tip the guy who brings you your bags, not the guy who takes your bags. So I dropped my bags off with this guy. And he's like, he's riding up with the claim ticket and everything. And he gives it to me. And he goes, and so I, like, take a step to walk away. And he goes, hey, just so you know, I'm not the same guy who's going to go get your bags. It'll be a different guy who gets your bags.
Yeah, see, they're aggressive.
And I looked at him and I was like, why is he telling me? Oh, he wants a tip.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Did you tip him?
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, okay.
That would piss me off.
Most of those places are tip share, I think. So that way it discourages, like, you know, people running and like, being cutthroat about service, you know? So it's like, okay, at the end of the shift, we all get the same pool of money or whatever. But that guy probably wasn't going to be on shift or something when,
he was probably going to leave, yeah.
Yeah, he was probably going to leave or whatever the case is. And, like, also, if I were in Vegas and I was some sort of service person, I'd want to front load all my tips as much as I could because when people are leaving Vegas, they are broke. They don't have any money.
Exactly.
That's very true.
You know.
Have a heart.
Or they have a ton.
Or they have a ton of money.
One or the
which
other.
Is never the case, but, you know.
We were supposed to go to Vegas. We should still go to Vegas.
We should still go to Vegas.
We should replan that I was trip.
Well, my Vegas next Vegas trip is scheduled around Britney.
Britney Spears?
Yeah.
She's back, right?
I was like, she just started back up. Your fiance's
name is
Paula.
Every time she starts, she, like, quits again. But, yeah, Paul's wanted to see Britney for years, and it's just like, yeah. The next time we go to Vegas, we've been in Vegas so many times, we just have to schedule it around that.
I'd like to see some
But she Britney. Takes so much time off.
She's back, though.
For a week, and then she goes back on hiatus.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
She
that.
Comes back for a week at a time?
I don't know. I just know that I think next week's her last weekend, and then she's taking another, like, month off. I mean, like, you know what? Good for her. But, yeah.
I've never been to, like, a Britney Spears or a Taylor Swift or a... One of those, like, modern shows that... Yeah. Hold on. Let me finish.
Aaron only went to concerts in the
1960s. My first concert was Van Halen, I will say. And it's,
and then the Beatles.
That's impossible, as you know. It was not the Beatles. Rolling Stones, yeah, but not the Beatles. Other bands. Sorry. I won't point anymore. And anyway, I don't know what a modern show is like. I imagine they're fun, but, like, you know, as far as the production value and stuff, because all the shows I've seen are, like, rock kind of shows, mm-hmm. And those, you know, those guys and gals kind of do their thing and they strut and whatever, but they don't have like backup dancers and all this other stuff.
I guess you don't count like South by Southwest shows in those, because like we went to see Milo Green and...
Yeah, but that's not, that's again, that's like a rock kind of show. It's a rock format. Yeah.
He means
right?
like a production.
Like a production.
Yeah, like right? a show.
Like Britney does, I'm assuming there's like lights and tigers and, yeah. and all sorts of stuff.
Oh,
just
there
like
better be a tiger. I'll be pissed off if I go and I don't see a tiger.
Lights and tigers and
I mean, doing flips. I think concerts have probably gotten better in the last 10 or 15 years just because they had to, because that's where you make money now. You make money, you know. Mm-hmm. touring and stuff instead of from CDs and records and everything. So I imagine like a concert now, that kind of production is just so jam packed. I sound so old right
you
now,
too.
But like, but like a Britney Spears thing is like an event. It's not just like, you know, Eddie Van Halen goes up there and plays guitar for 2 hours and then it's done. It's like lights and lasers.
Yeah,
and
but
blah,
that
blah, blah.
Sounds more entertaining to me. Cause if you're
Which?
Really into the band,
Britney
like,
Spears?
No, the like Van Halen or something. Actually seeing a band just play and feel the music and enjoy the music rather than like have it be a whole spectacle.
Well, it's the difference, I think, between watching a band play and a person perform.
Perform, yeah.
Right. But then it's a combination. It's a performer and it's music. And it's like it's a stage production with, you know, the music that you like. Because
yeah.
I know... Brandon's really into the Britney Spears.
I'm not. I'm really not.
What?
I like
but
how you blame
I
it
just,
on Paula, but it's definitely you that wants to go to Vegas.
I just hope
Britney
she
Spears.
Wears the, you know, the outfit.
The what red one? The
outfit?
Leather one?
Oh, we all know. No. The baby hit me one more time.
Oh, the schoolgirl one?
School person, yeah.
Yeah, but what about
the school person outfit?
So, I mean, the thing is, though, it's just she has residency at a major strip hotel. It can't just be a good show. Like, I want tigers. I want trampolines. Yeah. I want flips.
Trampolines.
What about the red leather outfit, though, from...
What
was the one... What was that video with the red leather thing? It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Oops, I did it again.
Just
I knew what maybe. It was. I just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
And tons of snakes.
I love... So, I can never think
Love
of
snakes.
Britney Spears without thinking of that photo years ago when she went crazy and shaved her head and had the umbrella and was like shaking
it. I thought you meant when
people.
She was like getting out of the car.
That's another photo you can't ever forget.
Famous Britney photo.
Her vagine.
A part of her.
I don't think I've ever seen that photo.
It was just, they opened the car door and it's just like this.
I would not pull it up on the iPad.
It's like
no, I'm
a
looking
beautiful
up, I'm looking
flower.
Up my photo so I can see if I can throw it up.
Which photo was it?
You'll know it as soon as you see
look
it.
The, oh. Look up the shaved photo of her head, but she's superimposed on Edward Norton from American History X.
Oh, God.
Yes, that's the red leather.
Yeah, that's a good outfit.
Barbara, take note on this.
Okay. Taking note.
Where do you even get that?
At the store.
I don't know.
Probably
we'll
a
out,
sex
though.
Store.
Now look up the one
it's
as
like
her
some type of
BDSM American History
stuff.
X, where she's got the bald head. And the
and then am I also supposed
swastika.
To take note of that as well?
Yeah, take note of everything. Everything I say.
Fart in a car right before you get out. Only if it's fancy. That's the only note you got to take.
We'll fart in the next Uber we're in.
Aaron mooned me last night from his apartment window.
Oh, can you moon your significant other? Is that a thing?
Apparently. But
I definitely did last night.
My butt's so hairy.
Mine is too.
Ah, that's annoying, isn't it?
He just moved into a new apartment. I could see his window from the street. And so I just wanted to see which window he was in. So I called him. And I'm like, hey, look out your window.
There it is.
Oh, God.
That's what he looked like when he looked out the window.
Oh,
and he's like, hey, hold on. Hold on a second. I was like, what? And all of a sudden, I see two butt cheeks against the window. And he's like, you still looking? You still down there? Can you see?
It was beautiful, right?
There was definitely like other students walking by
that
area, too.
My apartment also faces the Capitol and all that stuff. It's like right there. So, I mean, and it's at night. You can see the ass in the window. I was pretty proud. Of it because it's hard to like because I had to go behind my TV and shimmy with my pants down, and then when I finally got my ass pressed against the window, I had to be on my tiptoes.
So if a cop sees that and then tries to find out who it is, can he legally like ask you to show him your ass?
No, you're, I mean you're
or like if
wait,
they
what?
Get, or no no if
excuse
they,
me sir, I'm a police officer, I need to see your ass.
Or if
no
they
laughing,
have a line,
sir.
If they have to bring somebody, you know, to identify you, and
a
they
lineup?
Bring you in a lineup, and they have you. And like four other dudes show your ass.
Yeah, but do you need
is
to have
a
plane of glass so they could smush it against it? Because you
yeah.
need to
you
recreate.
Smushing?
I smushed mine.
Yeah, no, he
glass.
Was like doing the classic like butt against the window.
I shimmied it. I shimmied like this against it. Was so it was cold, that glass.
And then
I don't know
like,
why.
Then I started thinking, I'm a girl, obviously. As a guy, when you moon people, how do your balls not, like, show? Because you're leaning over, right? And so your balls would hang down?
My balls are in the front.
That's what I said. That's what I told her.
But they, like, if you're leaning over.
No. But you're, I assumed your legs are together because you're mooning.
They were spread a little bit.
I mean, if you're, like, if you're spread wide a bit, yeah, you can have, like, a bell happening where it's, like, hanging there in the middle.
To be honest, a bunch of stuff was smashed against the glass. It could have been my balls, too.
Balls are in the front, though.
They are in the front, and they don't just easily go, you know, in between them. But that's not how things are designed. Otherwise, your butt cheeks would be slamming against your balls.
Is anyone else going to go home tonight and try this out and figure out?
I know I will.
Ball logistics?
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, well, how does it work?
I have a funny story about the first mooning I ever saw.
Oh, yeah. Just think of something cold or...
The first time I was ever mooned was when I was 4 years old.
It works.
Who moons a four-year-old?
Here's the thing. So I had interesting parents.
I wasn't directed at him.
No. Well, sort of. So in my growing up, I grew up in a lot of bar situations because my parents were like, it's late 80s, early 90s. You still take your kid to a bar in Texas, you know, all the time, constantly. So anyway, we went to As was the style. So we went to this comedy club, I remember, and I was just, I mean, I was like 4 years old. It was my dad, my mom, and we're watching this comedian who's like not a really, he wasn't really great. He was very campy and like ba-da-da kind of humor. But every time he'd tell a really bad joke, a groaner, he'd put his pants down and moon the audience. And he'd just go like that with his pants. So you like saw his butt up and down. Well, my parents didn't know this and I didn't know this. So when he pulled down his pants and started doing that, I bawled. I was just so upset. And so tearful. I mean, they had to take me out. My parents, you know, had to set down their drinks.
Scared?
And, you know, I didn't know. It was a grown man's ass. And I don't, you know, I think I'd seen my dad's
How
ass,
old
maybe.
Were you?
You know, I was four years old. So anyway, I go outside. I'm very upset, very upset. The comedian eventually comes out and sits down next to me. And my parents are like, can you, you know, say something to him? The comedian, I'll never forget this. He says, don't worry. It was fake. That wasn't real. What you saw up there. That wasn't my real butt. It was a fake butt. And I was like, it was fake? He's like, yes, that wasn't real. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, then that's okay. And then it wasn't until I was like 13 or 14 and thinking about it later, I was like...
I like how you're still thinking about it.
Because it affected me. But I was 13 or 14, I was like...
I solve this puzzle.
I was like, that was a real ass. That guy did not have... There's no such thing as a fake ass.
It's
like,
weird. And 9 years from now, I'm going to be thinking the same thing about last night.
I think a fake ass would be more disturbing than a real ass.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I thought it was a plastic covering that covered his ass. And so I was like, oh, that's not the real thing. That's a protective shield. You got to understand, I was a little kid in a bar.
How'd
I didn't
they get
know
hair
what the
onto
was
it?
On.
That's not his real ass. That's some sex doll ass.
And he cut off one of his.
That was the first mooning I ever saw.
Oh, I don't remember the first
mooning. I've never been mooned. I don't know where you go that this happens all the time.
I was somewhere in Fort Worth, I think. Somewhere in North Texas.
I wonder what was going through that comedian's mind. Like, he's doing his bit. He drops his pants. Then he hears, like,
a kid
crying.
Screaming.
He's like, what the fuck? Who's out in the audience?
Also, is that the reaction you want from your ass? To hear crying? Oh, God!
Can you describe it? What was it like?
I mean, he was a heavier guy,
too.
Where
did the man touch you?
So it was a big ass. Or maybe I was really small, and he was just a normal guy, and it was, you know, the ass
looked
big to me at the time.
See, now that makes sense. Like, I guess my ass is so flat, and I guess
flat
and hairy.
How flat is it?
Real flat.
Real flat.
Brandon has one of the flattest butts.
Yeah.
He has negative ass.
Yeah.
Can you have negative?
It's concave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not going to go get an implant, but if someone
get a fake ass,
a butt implant.
Just get a fake butt.
Yeah.
Like this guy had.
Like, they do, like, competitions for free boob jobs. I don't know if there's, like, a competition I can do.
Wait, what?
For a free butt job.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, there are butt implants you can get.
What are competitions for
There's a strip club in town that does it, right?
Yeah, there's a strip club in town, yeah. They have competitions and they give away free boob implants.
The thing is, no one wants to see your ass, dude.
I'd see it with implants.
No, no one does.
Maybe we could start, like, an Indiegogo for it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. What do you need for an ass implant?
How much? Can we look up
grand?
How much does a butt implant
let's
cost?
Let's take guesses. Before they look it up, let's
I
take
guesses.
I think
it's going to be 80,000.
No.
No. That's your guess. That's your guess.
Why not? What are boob implants? 20K?
Four?
No, a good boob is like $8,000, I think.
For eight. Each or?
No,
I thought
both.
It was like closer to 20. Although maybe it's like as a
maybe
kid.
Maybe for those luxury boob jobs. But if you want ones to just get the job done, it's probably...
It's probably
grand.
Six for a butt.
They're spherical, kind of.
They kind of are on the same plane a little bit.
I'm going to say butt implants, I'm going to go with 20,000.
No.
God damn it.
Don't they have the...
It's like the Price is Right. You overbid $1 on the washing machine.
You know, they have that computer software, I think, where before you get plastic surgery, they take pictures of you and then they like Photoshop it and show you what you would look like. Do you think they would do that with my butt?
They have that computer software called Photoshop.
But like from the side?
No, it's not Photoshop. I think it's something.
Really? That cheap?
How much is it?
$6,500.
That's got to be
Brandon,
like.
You could afford it.
Is that per cheek?
It probably. You're not going to get one cheek.
Is that one of those over-the-border ass jobs?
I guess, why would they just sell one butt implant? That doesn't make sense. It's got to be both.
That might be like...
No,
because it's like attached in the middle.
Well, if your ass was injured in an injurious situation and you only had one cheek...
If one of your ass cheeks got blown off...
That happens. Like, there's been... in New Orleans... Let me see. I forgot Barb was on this podcast. So in New Orleans, I heard there was this stripper there with one... fake breast, and to my chagrin, it was true, a friend told me, and so she needed just one fake breast because I think she had some sort of, maybe she had a mastectomy or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she needed one fake one.
That's normal, but one ass cheek?
Yeah, I could see that happening a lot more.
Can to my insurance company? Because if I sit on my ass too long on like concrete, it hurts.
Just do squats.
No.
That's how Aaron got his butt.
Yeah. I didn't have to pay for mine, just in pain.
Gus, I'll split it with you. We each take one.
Hold on. Bernie's texting me.
Oh, no.
He's not on this podcast, though.
He is not. He's not. There's no way he can watch
how
it right
is
now.
He's watching this.
He's not in this building. We're not live streaming. How is he texting me about the podcast right now?
Did you...
Is one of you a narc?
Is it specific questions?
No.
Did you send an email to him saying that the podcast was recording today?
No.
He knows.
He knows. So sorry, I missed the last part of that conversation. What were you saying? Who said what?
I think, Brandon, were you getting at the insurance should cover your ass because you use it for work?
No, it's just, you know, what if I'm sitting down for a while and, you know, it hurts? It's like bone.
Oh. Just,
you know?
Just sit on one of those donuts.
That's what the insurance will probably pay for.
Yeah, pay for a donut.
Like when you break your tailbone or something and they give you that like little inflatable donut.
They'll get you a defective whoopee cushion that doesn't deflate. It's like, here you go, sir. Just sit on this. If you ever fix it, let us know. We'll get you another one.
I love whoopee cushions.
I have a skirt that's like pink suede, and every time I wear it, Aaron calls it my whoopee cushion skirt.
It looks so good. It just makes you want to go squeeze it and just...
You should tape a whoopee cushion to your butt next time you wear it, and then like go out to like a nice restaurant and then just like sit down on it. Farts are one of those things that's like universally funny. It's like probably one of the first things you laugh at as a little kid, and then like even as an adult or as an old person, you're still laughing at farts. I feel like there's very few things in the world that...
Universal?
That are universally funny from the time you start life to the time you end life.
Did anyone ever blame a fart on you growing up as a kid?
I don't know. I don't think so. No traumatic experience.
I have a traumatic experience. And I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before. But we were in a school assembly, and it was during a moment of silence.
Mm. Yes.
For like, you know, it was like Veterans Day or something like that. And there was a kid in front of me who was like the most disgusting, annoying kid in school. He rips a huge one and he does this thing where he turns back at me and goes, "Ew." And I was like, "That was you." But I obviously like couldn't say anything because we were in a moment of silence. Ooh. But then everyone was looking at me. I remember that for the
really
rest of my life.
Nervous and farted, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember I had a big bully in some school. And he was a pretty big guy, and there wasn't much I could do. But there was one point where it was just like me, him, and someone else. And I was let one completely silent. And he was like a really big guy. And I just remember thinking, who are they going to think did this? That was my I got him.
How bad did they beat you up after that?
Yeah. I don't remember.
He just looked off to the side. Yeah, anyway, what's next?
The best place to fart is on a plane because no one knows who did it.
That's bullshit.
It's also stinky as fuck already on a plane.
Exactly.
So nobody knows.
Just kind of blends
in. You know what
in.
The opposite to that is? Farting on a Greyhound bus because everyone thinks it's probably them. Everyone's just sitting there and farting the whole way. And so if they smell another fart, they're like, maybe it was me. And then they just keep going. They don't care.
Scratch their belly a little bit.
I've ridden on a Greyhound twice and it was just... It's just a transportation machine for farts. That's all it is. You buy a ticket to transport your fart from, like, Houston to Dallas or from Austin to Houston or wherever. Like,
well, those seats also are probably very absorbent.
They're extremely absorbent. They're more absorbent than a Bentley or whatever other.
Than supple calf leather.
Yeah.
I almost took a bus to Mexico, like, deep into Mexico, like, because I was like, yeah, you know what? It's better than driving. I don't have to do
shit.
Wait,
was that this last time?
Yeah. Wow. But then I was just like, I know, like, some people are robbed and murdered on buses.
Yeah.
Is that a, that's a thing, right?
Well, there's that. Yeah, there's
like
that
people
one
are robbed
story.
And murdered in their cars, too.
Did you hear that story about what happened on a Greyhound bus? I think it was, like, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago. There was a guy who was beheaded on a
what?
Greyhound bus. You
was
guys
this
didn't
in
hear
Mexico?
No, it was in Canada.
Canada?
Yeah. Some. I think it was, like on the West Coast.
Wow.
Yeah. There was a guy who... I was sitting next to this younger guy who was listening to his headphones, and he just started stabbing him. And then, like, the bus stopped, and then, like, everyone, like, ran off, obviously, because they were terrified. And then, apparently, like, while everyone was off, he cut his head off. And,
who
like,
cut whose head? The
guy who was stabbing him. The older guy cut the younger guy's
okay.
head off.
Okay.
And, like, held it up in the window. It was not because he farted. Oh.
Held it
but
up in the window. It's like a horror
to
movie.
To show everybody. Yeah, no, it was, like, a horror story. And I remember this because I used to take Greyhound buses every 2 weeks to go back home to Ottawa from Montreal when I was going to school there. And my parents were just like, if you want to take the train the next couple weeks, that'd be fine. I mean, it was like, it's just one incident.
Yeah.
I had a bad day.
So you
yeah,
had
he was just
a
crazy. I can't believe you guys hadn't heard that story. It was like everywhere for
it
months.
It did. It was like, one of those sad, was like, I just got to go past this story.
It was like the murder in Canada.
Yeah.
In the past 5 years.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna read this. I want to remind everyone, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. I used to shave with a razor that was so old, it ate dinner at 4:30.
Hey!
So like,
can we insert a rim shot there? why did I torture myself with a gross old blade for weeks and weeks? Because I didn't want to shell out $20 for a pack of new ones. DollarShaveClub.com changed all of that. They totally revolutionized the way I shave. Now I shave with a fresh blade whenever I want, and it feels fantastic. DollarShaveClub.com delivers a whole sleeve of amazing razors for just a few bucks. DollarShaveClub.com's razors are so good, millions of guys have joined up. I'll never go back to squeezing weeks and weeks of shaves out of an old, disgusting blade. Upgrade to shaving with a fresh blade whenever you want. It sucks. It's such a luxury, and it's a third of the price. Join me, everyone at Rooster Teeth, millions of others who figured out the smarter way to shave. Join Dollar Shave Club right now by going to dollarshaveclub.com/roosterteeth today. That's dollarshaveclub.com/roosterteeth. No, that's an old ad. Blew it, Barbara.
Dang it.
Oh,
I just like saying that.
Shave this morning.
You look good,
I did
Brandon.
Too.
Thank you.
I couldn't remember if it was the razor that I had recently used to groom the lower Aaron. And so, but I was running out of time, so I just went with it.
How'd it smell?
Color code, man.
Beautiful.
The lower Aaron.
The lower.
You only have one razor.
That's true. But I do only have one razor, so the odds are pretty good.
Well, if you had Dollar Shave Club, you could have that second razor, not have to worry about it.
Thank you for informing me, Gus.
So we should mention that we are nominated for a Streamy Award for Audience Choice for Show of the Year.
Mm.
And voting ends on September 17th. It's all voting. So.
Jeez.
If you guys go to this link that they just showed, streamies.org/vote.
It's from right to left, not left to right.
Jesus.
It's over
backwards.
Here, over here.
Put it on, Gus.
Over here.
There you go.
Fucking
okay,
pro.
Well, you
fucking
have
pro.
Done this before.
Pro.
I have not.
Over here. Over here.
That's the image. When you tweet it, tweet that image, a screenshot of Aaron.
But yeah, just include #RoosterTeeth, #streamies, and the word vote. In your tweet, and it'll be counted as a vote. Retweets also count. You could do 100 votes per day.
You can add #GusRules.
If you want, yeah, that won't be discounted.
It might make it count twice.
It will be discredited, but not discounted.
It's true.
It'll make them question
so vote.
Their taste.
We want to win. We want to beat those suckers.
Yeah, we normally...
We
I mean,
respect.
I think we're very selective when we promote contests and things like that, so...
Yeah.
I think this is one we want to definitely try to win, as you can tell by the fact that the banner is still there.
It'll be there the whole show. Just keep it there.
It'll be there until you vote. Oh, it's gone. I feel like I miss it now. I was getting so used to it.
I got engaged.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah, look at you.
Sucker.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I had no idea that you were planning to do that.
I did not tell anyone. I told Samantha Ireland. Didn't tell my parents.
You told Samantha, but not your friend Barbara.
She like sent me a Snapchat that was funny, like, oh, in San Francisco, and I was like having fun. So I was like, I took a picture of the ring and I was like going to Monterey. So
it sounds so passionate and excited about it. I'm really glad.
No, I'm just saying, it's just like I feel bad because
I got engaged. It's what you do right now.
Aww, that's a really nice
picture.
That
is nice. It looks professional.
Thank you.
You look very
shot
well
on
put
iPhone.
Together in that picture.
That was like the 20th attempt to find a place to propose.
The 20th attempt?
Yeah, it was hard.
Did she know it was coming?
No, she had no idea.
So what was her reaction like?
Surprised, but happy. I didn't have to talk her into it.
Did she punch you?
And I was like, no. I was like, you want to think about it for a little bit?
Wow, how's
even you don't sound confident.
And I was like, it's okay. You know, you don't have to let me know how. But so I was in a city that I've only been to once before, and I don't know like anything about it. So I was looking into places I could go, and I was like, you know what? We went to this one place. It had all these lights. It was really nice. So I was like, we'll go there Saturday night. We go there, but apparently they only had those lights there because it was Christmas. So it was pretty crappy looking. So I was like, well, there's a place that's like a mile walk away. We'll go there. There's a Ferris wheel. And then we get there, and there's a concert, so it's closed. And I'm like, fuck. And I was like, well, I guess we can go to her house and I can propose on the balcony. And I had to be like,
lame.
So I messaged her parents and I was just like, abort, not proposing.
So her parents knew.
Her parents knew, yeah.
You had to ask her dad.
I had
right?
to ask her dad.
Her dad's like a real, like, man's man.
Did you bond over a glass of Merlot?
Well.
Oh, no. Weren't you afraid of him for a while?
I'm not afraid.
He's like
I just
a man's man. He's like
a
real, like, he has a mustache, right? God.
He's a very big, athletic, you know, Mexican man. And
with a mustache,
Things didn't start out great when I got there because I got to the airport. The airline had canceled my ticket. And then finally, when they got it set up, I got to security and my plane was about to leave 10 minutes. And it took all the courage in the world to ask to cut in line at security. And people were like really cool and they said yes. And I was like, look, my plane is leaving. They're like, no, it's okay. I was like, no, I need you to look and verify and understand I'm not lying. So it was a big pain in the ass to get there. Finally get to her house and surprise her. She didn't know that I was coming. She was really happy. She'd been sick. And I'm just so out of it. I put my bag on the ground.
Oh, no.
And we're just chilling in her, you know, little bar area. Couch and everything, and she starts to smell something burning, and she goes to her dad and says, you know, something's burning. And I'm just in the couch, I'm like, that's not my problem. She's gonna sit here, they can worry about that. And then her dad,
what a
model,
man
model son-in-law
and her dad comes in, and it the smoke was coming from my computer bag.
What?
And I had put it on top of a light in the floor. Ooh. But the light wasn't an LED. So when they picked up my bag, it was on fire.
Oh my God, Brandon.
And then her dad
leather?
And yeah. his friend had to put out the little bag fire. My laptop was in there.
Were you still
and
the just sitting
ring
on the couch
was in
this?
There. And
the
I had
ring
gotten,
was in there.
I had gotten up. But yeah, no, they had to put it out after I started a fire in their house.
Wait, so they
and
put
said
it,
that it was somebody else's problem.
Were you still just
I didn't
sitting
say
on the
it
couch?
Was something else's problem. I was like, hey, it's not too many cooks in the kitchen. I'm not going to get involved here. This is a problem with their house. You know, I don't want to make things. I don't want to mess anything up. But it was my bag.
Your laptop deserved to burn.
I guess it got set on fire, and so it's funny because finally, and the other moment with her dad was Sunday after I had proposed, and he came into the same bar and it was like, you know, me, Paula, and her friends, and he went and poured a glass of wine for himself, and he was going to pour a glass of wine for me, but he saw that I had a cup of milk and some chocolate chip cookies that I was eating at the time, and he was like, okay, and then walked out.
He thinks you're such a wuss.
He does.
Does he think you're like 10 years old?
Probably, but he had no problems. He gave me his blessing. I asked him before I proposed. Because he knows I'm a good guy. And he knows I make his daughter happy.
He probably thinks you're harmless, is what he's like. He's the man's man, and then he's like, well, he's fine.
He's not gonna do anything.
He's
harm.
Not gonna. Yeah, I mean, she'll run the things.
That's right. That's what my parents said about you.
That's not true. That's not true. I'm a man's man, and I'll grow a mustache soon. That's right.
You're obsessed with mustaches.
Because a mustache is like that. That is when you've achieved like a really thick.
Is it like a mustache independent of other facial hair?
Yes.
Why
absolutely.
Don't you? Why don't you just take one of your eyebrows and like migrate it down to your lip?
That was uncalled for. Very uncalled for. And no, it has to be independent of my. It has to be Tom Selleck-esque. Okay. Is what it has to be.
Very
I grew a mustache once. I thought I was going to look like Magnum P.I.
Oh, we remember, Gus.
I was like, oh, yeah, that would be cool. It's going to look awesome. And then I grew it, and I shaved all my other facial hair off and just left it. I was like, I look absolutely ridiculous.
You look like the last person someone sees when they're in a park alone at night before they get shoved into the van.
You look like Ned Flanders is what you look like.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah. Oh, that's not
a
bad.
A little bit.
Like a Mexican Ned Flanders.
But more like the van guy in the park.
There is a Mexican Ned Flanders. He was in an episode.
Which one?
It was like the Flanders family reunion when like all the Flanders are in Ned's backyard.
You should cosplay as that or do that as your Halloween costume.
I forget what his name was.
Ned Flanderos?
Man.
Fuck, you should go right for The Simpsons.
Canadian. I can't think of it.
Yeah, and Nelson was also British Ned Flanders. I don't remember who else. There were a few.
Good story.
I was just delaying because I could see they were bringing up the image.
Oh, gotcha.
You can tell they just tinted it down. The
entire
character. Yeah, they
made everything else darker.
And they put curly hair on him. That's you, Gus. That could be you.
Do you have the picture of me by any chance?
Gus mustache.
They'll find it.
Gus-dash.
I'm sure it's on some criminal website somewhere.
I think someone put that, someone made a, like, compiled that in a picture of the guy from Her, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the same mustache.
Yeah, and when we did Let's Play Live, the guys who developed iDarb came down and they added it to the game to a special build for Let's Play Live where people could use a Gus bomb.
Have you ever seen that video of these, I think it's like a bunch of college guys or something.
That's it.
God, so bad.
You want some ice cream? Come to the van. The van's just right on the street. Stop swinging. Get off the seesaw.
I can't stop looking at it.
Neither can I. Oh my God.
It's terrifying. There are these guys that they filmed a scene from Her upside down and it focused in on his forehead. And he was doing, like, all these, like, forehead movements, and it looked like it was smiling upside down. You haven't seen this?
No.
What are we talking about?
She's talking about Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, right? They're probably stoned out of their mind because they're all laughing like maniacs. But then you watch it, too, and you're laughing like a maniac. So, I don't know. It does something to you.
I haven't watched
it. I really hope that we could find it.
You haven't seen Her?
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, okay. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
She talked about it. They shot a video.
It looks like a little smiley face.
You know who that looks like. There's a critic in town named.
Oh no!
Should I say it,
yeah, Brandon? Say it.
It looks like Harry Knowles is who it looks like because of the red beard
and just like the
pallor of skin, translucent skin.
I can see that.
Oh, the blinks are so good.
Man, that's pretty good.
Would you, if like someone was like, for $5,000,
yes,
would you get like a, what's his, Kotar? What was the guy from Total Recall? You get like a
Quattro,
little guy,
Quattro,
yeah, implanted in your stomach for like a few months. Like he just needs a place to stay.
So $5,000
while he gets
a
new body.
Why don't you just give him an Airbnb or something? Why you gotta implant him? Oh, $5,000.
No,
yeah, for $5,000.
No,
what?
$5,000?
Yeah,
for several months of someone living in me.
Wow, what a
on
concept.
Your stomach, yeah, on your chest,
yeah.
We're not talking about pregnancy, you idiot. We're talking about like a sentient.
Stop
being
selfish, Barbara.
That's like half of a butt implant. It could like pay for half of your butt.
It's more than half of a
butt.
Yeah,
that's like.
What did we say the cost was? Oh, only
$6,500. Yeah.
Oh, Gus, you're almost there.
Me? You're the one who wants it.
Oh, we both need it.
You both need it.
I'm just bringing it up because I don't want to. It's my subtle way of telling you.
There's got to be different softness of those implants, I imagine. You know,
just like breast implants
and different sizes. Yeah.
Different. Well, yeah, different sizes, but like.
I'd like a C cup.
I mean,
you get a baseball player butt.
Oh yeah. But that's like, that's sturdy butt.
Yeah, big
that's
sturdy
like,
butt.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
That's
right,
a baseball player
down.
Butt. I almost kind of have a baseball player butt. More have like a, I don't know what I have.
It's like a baseball player butt.
Is it?
Yeah.
I hate baseball, so I don't
know. You have a nicer butt than any girl I know. So take that for what it is.
I'll take it.
Is his butt nicer than Chris Damaris's?
Ooh, Chris Damaris does have a nice
Chris
butt.
Chris Damaris has a good butt.
He does not.
His is, like, more compact, though.
His is feminine.
And it's probably hairless.
No, Chris's ass is
He's got
extremely
an apple
hairy.
Bottom.
Is it?
Yeah, it's extremely hairy. I mean, it's so... Because, you know someone long enough. I've seen, like, for instance, my buddies Zach Anner, Brad Anner. I've seen them naked so many times. I've seen Chris's ass many times, and it's awful. How women are attracted to it, I have no idea. But it's like
throwing one of your best friends under the bus.
Here's what it is. It's like if you went to the barber shop and you collected all of those little clippings on the ground, and then you put super glue over someone's ass, and then you sprinkled all of it from above, that's his ass. You have to dig to find his ass. Not that I know that.
You do. You just
no.
said.
That's so weird, though, because the rest of him is so hairless. He has, like, one chest hair.
I guess it all fell onto his ass. I don't know.
Like, as he's sitting, it's all just collecting down there. Like, gravity's pulling it down.
That's he has hairy legs, though. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Chris Damaris has very hairy legs.
It's like his bottom half is Wookiee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like he, like...
No, it's
like,
Hobbit, right?
He developed, like, two different body types in one. It's weird.
It's like two mismatched parts.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about Chris Damaris's ass?
Because he's got a good butt. I want to know if yours was better.
But apparently it's hairy. I just, I don't know. Hair
this
is just...
also could be propaganda because he wants his butt to be declared better.
Yeah, I am spreading a smear campaign here.
Don't say spreading and smear with ass. Don't use those words altogether. It's a bad. It's
spreading
a bad
that ass smear campaign. Someone save me, please, for the love of God.
So we went.
Gus is just super low energy. He's just like.
I'm just letting him
tired
hang himself.
From that
yeah,
let's
thank
play.
You.
We just recorded a crazy let's play. Probably the yeah. By the time this podcast comes out, it'll have aired. We recorded a let's play in Capsule Force.
And I took a little Snapchat of it.
It was. Did you send it out?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
You don't know what you're playing though. I just like it's 10 seconds from it.
So yeah, we have a Snapchat account now. It's Rooster Snaps.
Rooster Snaps.
And,
because Rooster Teeth was taken.
Yeah, we at the end of it, people were. Well, I can say it because it'll be out by now. Blaine was throwing chairs, like, in the room. It was so passionate.
He also...
There's brand new computers in there.
He also jumped into me.
Yeah.
Unknowingly. Because you guys were all stationed behind two computers, but so you're all on the same side. And I stood behind you guys to watch for a few minutes. And then I guess something really exciting was happening. And Blaine jumped up and, like, threw his chair, started, like, bouncing up and down and, like, threw himself into the back wall where I was standing with a cup of coffee. And it just completely covered myself.
What games made you the angriest in your life?
Capsule Force.
Really? That much?
You guys were yelling so loud. I was trying to have a meeting with my production coordinator, and she was like trying to tell me something. I was like, what? And she's like, listen, we need to do this. And I was like, I can't hear. And you guys were like, and chairs are being thrown and stuff like that.
It's a loud
and
group in there,
too. I was like, this is unprofessional, is
it was
what
rowdy.
I said.
It was rowdy.
Like, you already have Miles and Blaine, who probably are, like, two of the loudest people already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's, like, the ragiest thing you've ever done? Like, have you broken anything or, like,
no,
said
I don't,
something?
I
like...
don't understand people who get angry and break stuff. Because, like, in the end, it's like you're just breaking your own stuff.
Well, does it count? Like, there are times where I've, like, slammed my controller on the table. Would you consider? It's not, like, so much I want to break. It's just, like, I have to.
I wouldn't do that. Like, I feel like I'd break my table, like, no matter how mad
that's
I get.
That's such a rat, but that's so rational. Like, you've never gotten so angry.
I get angry.
But you still stop and think, like, this is
I get really angry.
I have an anger problem. No, no, I just can't see myself
Yeah, but you have, like,
that.
An internal anger problem.
Yeah.
And an external.
Barbara's salty today.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just can't see myself doing that. I mean, I've seen... Bernie put holes in desks before and break
yeah,
his
hole in my table.
His hand.
Yeah, Bernie's
hand?
Violent.
Yeah.
Really violent.
You have something to tell us?
No. I've never seen... Bernie is always just a teddy bear.
He once, years ago, broke an original Xbox controller with his bare hands.
Because he, like,
just
crushed
by, like,
it, right?
The loaf of bread?
It. Yeah, the giant with the Duke.
Whoa.
He just, like torqued it, and then it just, like, snapped.
Wow. But that was working, like, right during... That was Machinima?
Yeah, but he was still that angry.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
I understand how you could get that frustrated, though, while you're doing Machinima. Because, like, you could be setting up a shot for hours, and then one little thing fucks up, and it's like, you spend another couple hours resetting it.
Yeah.
And I understand how that could be really
frustrating. It was one of those situations.
Especially since it was, like, three of you guys
yeah.
total. And here it's, like, a team of 10 people doing Machinima.
I heard, so Blaine moved in underneath me, directly underneath me, and I heard him moving in a few days ago, and I heard him screaming and complaining at like 3 a.m. trying to move a couch. He was just like, motherfucker, you know, because it's a huge couch. I've seen it, but like he got it wedged in between the door and he couldn't do anything with it. So it's like 3 a.m. And at first when I was sleeping, and so I live, you know, on the floor above him, directly above him. And he, I heard this scraping going on and I kind of woke up and I was like, what is that noise? What is scraping? And it's just, and then, and I was like, man, some neighbor is just fucking going crazy. And then the next day, Blaine comes in here all tired. I'm like, what is your problem? He's like, moving in yesterday and the couch got stuck in the doorway and John Reisinger was laughing at me and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, that's what that noise was. But they were so pissed off.
That's also a really good Blaine impression, too.
Yeah, so I was moving in and blah, 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 blah.
He's so excited to mess with you, and I just imagine you were just not going to give a shit.
I'm not going to. Plus, like, I'm going to. I will ruin his world.
Also, Lynn lives there too, his brother. So it's like,
I know. Lynn lives on the floor below Blaine. Like, he's sandwiched in between us.
It's a marquee sandwich?
Yeah, it's a marquee sandwich. If he tries anything, his world is done. Yeah. It's erased.
Can your brother fart under a door sill?
Absolutely. You're talking about targeted flatulence, is what that's called. Targeted flatulence. He just. Right under the door.
Well, I need to find a new apartment. You want me to take one of the sides?
Yeah. You just get the corners, we'll just box them in. No, it's great because my brother can, he's got a lock picking set and he can get into any doors. He's gotten in my apartment door many times. So we'll just break into Blaine's apartment and do whatever the hell we want.
Don't
and then
say
get
this
out.
Publicly.
That's fine. I think Blaine knows it's going to happen anyway. So, yeah, it's, why are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
Well,
anyway, yeah,
lock
we're going to break into Blaine's apartment probably and fuck up some shit. But he deserves it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, I'll go
I
with
think
that.
He does. I think he knew what was coming to him.
He knew you lived there.
Yeah, he did.
It was your territory. He's encroaching on you.
So are you happy to be living away from your haunted neighbor?
That was, whatever you heard was not right. That was not the screamings and the wailings of a woman that I had heard through the walls. You heard someone do it, like cooking something.
No, I heard a woman screaming. And it was late. It was like 2 a.m, but it was coming from above you, not next to you.
No, nice. No. It's a ghost, and she lived to the side of me, and she was always yelling about insurance, and you didn't say anything about insurance.
That's not nearly as sexy.
I mean, I couldn't hear what she was saying. I heard her yelling on the phone.
I'm getting pretty turned on. I don't know about you. Did you ever see the ghost in the Congress office?
I heard people talk about it. I never saw that.
Saw it once.
That ghost is gone now.
You guys are
in the back
crazy.
Room.
Oh yeah, they demolished that.
Yeah,
no. Now it has a good home. It's going to be in a hotel. If you're a ghost, that's where you want to be, in a hotel.
Really?
I mean, it's just probably floating there, right? Well, what happens to a ghost whenever it's demolished?
Are ghosts tied to like a physical place?
I think so.
We
like
talked
a plane.
About this, I think.
If not,
I mean,
and you were a ghost, where do you think you would haunt?
Beetlejuice rules.
If I was a ghost, where would I haunt?
Yeah.
The girls' locker room.
Oh yeah. Haunt the girls' toilet right under the bowl.
Learning a lot of weird things about you.
Hey, so I've only seen girls' locker rooms in the movies, like Porky's.
I'm thinking of Porky's. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Porky's. I'm worried though that it's not really as sexy as it seems in movies. It's actually kind of.
You think they would have lied in a movie?
I'm saying. Do you think you would really want to do that? Do you think it would break the illusion and?
It would absolutely break the
You kind of, like, part of you would die inside?
That's why it was a jokey answer.
I thought you were serious. Girls are gross.
I was just about to say that.
Girls are grosser than guys.
The
like,
girls are dirty,
it,
guys are messy.
No, sorry,
it's the other way around.
Girls are messy, guys are dirty.
Right.
Guys, but when it comes to bathrooms and places like that, girls are fucking gross. Because it's not just shit and piss that could be left in a girl's bathroom.
Jesus,
it's other
Barbara.
That you discover along the way.
Barbara's on fire.
Yeah.
I'm just pissed off. Having to be a girl and go in public bathrooms and just like, can't use that one. Can't use that one.
What, do girls just shit in toilets and not flush it?
A lot of the times,
why?
Yeah.
What is
I
the
don't
point
know.
Of that?
Men's bathrooms do that too.
I don't know if they
so
forget.
So women always do that? Guys' bathrooms
why
are perfectly clean.
Why don't we have couches? I'm very upset about this.
Why don't we have couches?
Yeah, like every woman's bathroom on earth has a couch. Why don't we have? Why are there no couches in guys' bathrooms?
I mean, there's couches in girls' bathrooms in like really fancy places, like fancy hotels or clubs and
you're just
stuff.
Saying that because you don't want me to go in the girls' bathroom here at the office. I bet
you
there's
could.
A nice couch.
That's true, though, what you're saying, Gus, about guys' bathrooms. Sometimes it's just a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
It's not even like anything. Like, women at least have a place to leave their shit in. Guys, sometimes, like, it's just a trough. Troughs are the worst.
And if you're lucky, there's ice in there.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Wait, some men's bathrooms don't have a toilet to actually shit in?
Well, oh, like some will do this thing where there's only one toilet and everything else is troughs.
And there's no stall door.
And if there's a guy in there who's using it for a while, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no doors. Like, I've told the story before on the podcast where the high school I went to, there were no stall doors at all.
Because you do drugs
what
in there
if
or something.
Shit?
Oh, just everyone's going to watch you.
What's up?
It's like prison.
The high school I went to was basically prison. I think that's a really good comparison.
Yeah.
How many fights did you have, probably?
I did not get in any fights.
No, at your school. We had like one a week.
One a week? Yeah. What kind of pansy ass shit is that? We had like 10 a day. I'm not kidding. It was like, if fights were a thing, man. Like, people would cut their meal cards into knives.
Jesus.
And like, girls would grow their fingernails out and hole punch the middle of the fingernails. That way it had 2 points on each nail that they could like scoop flesh out of each other. I once was standing next to a girl when a fight happened on her, which is the best way to say it. Someone ran up behind her, shoved her to the ground, and then 5 girls proceeded to step on her face for 5 minutes. Like, she had like shoe marks all over her face.
How are you not tougher?
I think I brought this up before.
Gus was just in the library the whole time.
I avoided all that shit.
He was just in a ball.
God, yeah, it was bad. There was a shooting in my school.
Yeah, we
and
had that.
The person who brought the gun and shot didn't even get suspended. It was like, oh, you shouldn't be bringing guns to school. We're gonna take that.
Did they kill anyone?
No. They missed.
Did you hear about Dwight Howard?
They didn't get expelled.
No, they were in school the next day.
What?
I told you, I went to school in a prison.
I went to school in Canada.
Did the school take his gun and have to have his mom come in?
Her gun.
Oh, shit.
It's like
maybe
a big 50 caliber Desert Eagle, and she just puts it in her purse.
did you hear Dwight Howard, the basketball player for the Houston Rockets? He brought a gun, like, on his carry-on item, and they found it in the airport. And they were just like, oh, we're going to take that. And they let him get on the plane. No charges. A gun.
Apparently, that's a pretty common thing with like celebrities and stuff. They'll bring like big knives and guns and forget that they have them.
I think when did that happen?
Like 2 days ago.
Effective September 1st, guns are now legally carry. You can now legally carry guns in airports in Texas.
What?
What?
What if you have a CHL?
You can't bring a
you
nail
cannot
clipper.
You take it onto the plane, but you can legally carry the gun in the airport, which is probably why nothing happened to him.
Huh. Oh, so he just had to leave it.
They found it at security, and he probably just had to leave it.
So, like, if you brought your gun to the airport, you'd have to leave it at the airport. You can't take it with you?
Correct. Or you'd have to stay on this side of security, like you couldn't pass through.
I think, though, I have a CHL. I think you can check your gun in your checked luggage,
yeah.
And you have to make sure that they know about it, and they tag it and all that stuff for when you really need to take your gun places.
Well, someone sneaks down in the luggage.
Sneaking down in the luggage, man.
I don't think you can really get to the checked baggage after you're boarded on the plane.
You have to, like, cut through the cabin.
They did an executive decision.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. But didn't you talk about this? People lie in movies. We just said that.
No.
Right. Oh.
No. This was a Seagal movie. They take things pretty seriously.
That was not a Seagal movie.
He's gone
he's
in
dead.
The first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That angered my dad so much. I know we're talking about an old movie, but like, my dad is such a big Steven Seagal fan. He's like, yes, I'm going to go see this executive decision movie. And then he sees it not 5 minutes in, dead. Like, he just gets
Steven Seagal
off.
Was all over the trailers.
Yeah.
And then
he's on the poster, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on the poster.
It's literally like the 20-year-old scene of the movie.
Yeah. And then Kurt Russell is the hero for the rest of it. It's like, there's no Seagal.
And you don't
all.
Believe that he's dead. Like, you see his body flying through the sky, and you're like, how is Seagal going to survive
this?
That's
so weird that you say that, because my dad was like,
he's probably going to land on a boat.
My dad kept saying, he's coming back. He'll show back up on the plane. I was
it
like,
was all a
dad,
dream.
It was at 40,000 feet when he flew out. He had no parachute. He's like, no, Seagal. It's a goal.
The plane disintegrated around him.
I know.
God, he has great movies. Did you ever see Dark Territory? Was it?
Yeah,
Under
I
want to
talk about Dark Territory. Let me read this, let's talk about Dark Territory. I've got something to say about that. I want to remind everyone this episode of the podcast is also brought to you by FanDuel. Let's talk about fantasy football for a minute. FanDuel Week 1 games are almost here. The first game out of the gates, the Patriots versus the Steelers. Apparently, just got more interesting. Tom Brady's back in action. This isn't sports ball, but, I mean, that was all over the news today. So you know he's going to have a big game. I want to talk about the Tom Brady thing, too, before. You guys know sports? Okay, well, we'll talk about this right in a second. Here's why you need to get on FanDuel.
Tyler, help.
It's the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and payouts than any other site. They're paying out over $75 million a week for football season. Entry fees start at just $1. Anyone can play. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use code TEETH, and sign up now. Plus, special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 bucks that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. So don't forget to go click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use code TEETH. That's T-E-E-T-H. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's F-A-N-D-U-E-L-E. Oh, I fucked it up.
Damn it, guys.
That's F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com. Sign up today. It's actually a really, really easy to use site. And I think right now they're doing NFL and MLB. And, I mean, normally fantasy football, we're actually going to do a draft for our own fantasy football here in the studio. Like, you're stuck playing the whole season, whether or not you like your team. FanDuel is just like every week, every game, you can do something different.
Do you think they'll have NHL?
It's not listed. Is NHL going on right now?
Starts in November.
It will be soon.
I don't know if they do that. I was looking through the site earlier, and they're doing NFL, MLB, and I think they do CFL as well, oddly enough.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I know you have something you want to say, but like, how well do you think I could do in a fantasy football league knowing nothing about football?
You might win.
Really?
You never know. Let it auto-draft for you, you might win.
Like, because, I mean, assuming I know nothing, which I do not know anything.
If you go simply by, like, most systems have, like, rankings.
Yeah.
If you go just by whoever's, like, worth the most or whoever has the most points, you probably do okay.
Really?
I mean,
it's interesting to me. Like, I'm not anti-sports or anything. I just don't follow football. Mm-hmm. It's like, I always wondered if I actually played fantasy football, if I could do very well.
Normally, I mean, there's some people who get into it, and you can find, like, high-value players. Like, players you pay less for who might give you a better return.
So, like a good dollar, ROI point, right, on your player.
Exactly.
Whatever. Okay.
And, you know, people who really get that nitty-gritty are normally really good at it. But if you play, like, just simply based on, like, player values, you probably do all right.
Huh.
I think, anyway.
Maybe I'll take a look.
And you'll piss a bunch of people off who take it way too seriously.
Yeah, we're doing our fantasy football draft here pretty soon.
For sports ball?
Yep.
Sports ball.
That's an awesome show, by the way.
Their set is so good.
Everything about that show is good.
I'm jealous of that set.
Yeah. I saw a comment that was...
Yeah, what is this piece of crap?
Yeah.
I like the set.
No,
yeah, it's all right.
We got to burn this set. I want a new set by the end of the year.
I want a new couch.
Can I get a new set? No, the couch is
I want another beer.
We're going to build a new set around that couch.
Nah.
We're just going to extend that couch.
The couch might go missing at some point when you're rebuilding.
Missing, go on fire.
How do we get it? That's a nice couch.
We didn't talk about dark
territory. Just have Brandon put it on a light.
Oh, I thought you want to talk about Tom Brady.
Oh, we do want to talk. I do want to talk about Tom Brady. Okay. Also, we'll get to Tom Brady after
Dark Territory.
Under Siege 2.
Yeah.
I assume you guys saw. You've seen Under Siege.
Yeah.
You've seen Under Siege? Okay.
No.
Awful movie.
Yeah.
They decided to make a sequel. So Under Siege takes place on a boat. Under Siege 2 takes place on a train.
Yeah.
And Steven Seagal's the cook on the train.
Oh, Casey Ryback or whatever his name is.
My favorite thing about Dark Territory is, like, at the end, like, the climactic battle between Steven Seagal and the bad guy who I don't even remember, is you can tell they're, like, ramping the speed on the footage.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Steven Seagal's, like, you know, doing, like, a slow move, and he's, like,
there's like, a lot of crazy slapping, too. They slap each other a lot.
Yeah.
Like, actually slapping. And they've got weapons and stuff, but Steven Seagal's just slapping the guy's face, and it's like, what are we watching here? And then they're doing the speed ramp, so it looks like... You know, and it looks so silly. It's
just, well, what year is it from?
94?
No, 97, I think.
96 or 97.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just, like 96. Such lazy writers. They're like, well, what if he gets kicked off the train? Oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. How's he going to get back, though? It's like, all right, well, he finds a pickup truck, and there are two wires. He hits the wires together, and it starts the truck, and he takes off. It's like, at what point do you think that makes any kind of sense?
Dude, movies are
or
all real.
Do you think, like, fuck, this movie, like, they understand the movie's a joke anyway, so they don't fucking care.
Is Steve Seagal still practicing law enforcement somewhere?
I think so, in Florida.
I thought it was Louisiana last time.
Oh, was it?
Or Arizona.
Did you see that thing where he was, you know, the Soviet Union, not the Soviet Union, Russia had their like 70th anniversary celebration of the end of World War II.
Uh-huh.
And like no world leader really showed up. It was just basically Vladimir Putin and the Russian army doing marching and formations and everything. And fucking Steven Seagal was there in the crowd.
Oh, that's right. He met Vlad. Vladimir, right?
So, yeah.
And said he was a really, like, good guy or whatever he said that you don't say about Vladimir Putin.
It's weird to find the celebrities who endorse non-popular world leaders. Like when Dennis Rodman went to North Korea.
How that fucking started, I have no idea.
Rodman's like, you guys don't understand. He's a really great guy.
Yeah. Did you guys see that movie, The Interview?
I never saw it.
It was so bad.
I laughed.
I don't understand. Like, it seemed like it would be a good movie, and everyone was talking about how good it was. And then I saw it. I was like, what am I missing?
Do you like those guys? Like, I mean, if you really like James Franco and Seth Rogen, I think it's like you get exactly what you expect.
James Franco seemed like he did not have any lines written in that movie. They just put him on the set, and they're like, act.
That's fair.
Because every line that came out of his mouth is just like, how did someone actually write this?
Is what it was.
It was bad.
I was going to go back to some more current with celebrities endorsing weird people.
World leaders.
Hulk Hogan wanted to run as Trump's running mate?
What?
Did I read that correctly?
Probably not.
I think Hulk Hogan said, I would be his vice president.
I think it's 2015. I think we're ready for a president who's had a sex tape. So
yeah.
I'm okay with Hulk Hogan.
He would be vice president.
He'd be vice president.
Unless Trump
was taken out, then we would have a president who had a sex tape. And, oh, man, I haven't seen that sex tape, but I should probably watch it later. I imagine it's awful because Hulk Hogan is so...
There's only one way to find out, Aaron.
I don't have my phone on me to look it up, but it's just got to look like a leather couch.
Hey, Aaron, it's right here.
Hey, Gus.
I found it for you.
Maybe I'll just look at it now. But, like, can you imagine Hulk Hogan? Like, oh, man.
Yeah, he would look like a leather couch.
A leather couch having sex.
Now I want to watch it.
Yeah, now
with
I want to
watch it.
Hulk Hogan. Why must you make fun of me?
I have a thing for leather couches. So Under Siege 2 was 95.
95.
Okay. Somewhere in between.
It made $50 million domestically.
That's not good.
It's good in 95.
No, but that movie had to cost, like, $60 million or something. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah.
Seems like
it's too small.
Now, Putin is, I think he's, what, 5'7", 5'8", maybe something like that?
Yeah,
there's
like
no way that Steven Seagal's hair is dyed at all in that photo.
He looks like fucking Dracula or something.
What's up with that hairline? Can we talk about that?
What are you talking about, the widow's peak?
Look at that. He's got a V on his fucking forehead.
I think that may be plugs. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure, but, man.
And then cut back to Aaron.
It's just like printer ink. Just like stained on his head.
It's like he took like that Kiwi shoe polish with the brush and just like fucking went back through it.
When is Paul McCartney going to stop dyeing his hair and just let it go completely silver? Like, you ever seen Paul McCartney these days with his brown hair, brown red hair?
I think that's a wig.
No, it's not. Don't tell me that.
Tell me
it's dyed. Don't tell me it's a wig.
I think it's a wig.
Really?
It looks so, like, I don't know, like, bouncy and, like, up. I don't think there's any way.
It looks voluminous. I'll give you that. Voluminous.
Usually you lose some volumity.
Volumosity.
Voluminity. Yeah, you do.
Volume. With age, I think. Right?
Yeah, that's why I don't buy it.
Your hair is still very voluminous.
Yeah.
And I'm an old fucker.
Yeah, you are.
That's not true.
Hidely ho.
What are you, 50?
45.
Oh, okay.
Really?
God, what?
I know, I'm surprised. I'm surprised. I was like, I didn't think you were 45.
Sit here and drink.
Yeah. Finish
shit.
It off.
I've been doing this shit for 12 years.
Old man Sorolla.
So we were at PAX too this weekend.
Kids, get off my lawn.
Do we want to talk about PAX at all?
Yeah, I do.
Good. I do too, Gus.
PAX was fun. I want to talk about one thing in particular about PAX. Well, yes, I do. You and I both got to do something really cool. We both got to see the HTC Vive, which is like the Valve VR demo. It was, like, I've been a huge skeptic when it comes to VR. I talked about this on The Patch this week, which you can watch at roosterteeth.com. And so I talked about it quite a bit, so I don't want to, like, get into, like, super deep detail about it. But it worked.
Yeah.
It looked good. I feel like a lot of the other VR stuff I've used is like stuttery, or like you see the pixels, or it just looks bad. This was immersive.
It was like unreal.
What was the environment
like? They put you through multiple ones. So like the first one I did, you're on a sunken ship underwater. and like you could look around and like walk around the ship and like look at everything and look over the ship like deeper into the ocean. And it's like, you know, you're in a room, but still, like, when you're getting to the edge of the ship, you still like are scared to look over.
The weirdest part for me was there's another demo where you are supposed to help airplanes land. You like click on them and then like you design flight plans in the air and then you like take them down to the runway.
Guess which one Gus's favorite was.
It was my favorite. But as I was playing the game, like the airport's on an island in the middle of the ocean and you're like walking around, like clicking on these planes. Subconsciously, I wasn't wanting to bump into the island. Like so I was like, I'm having trouble reaching some of these planes. Then I realized, oh, this is all fake. Yeah. I can be walking and standing in the middle of the island.
The guy running the demo for me, he's like, you can walk through the island if you want. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Walk through, so what, you're like hovering above
the
island?
It's like about waist level.
Yeah. So it's like, imagine if you're just like a detached camera.
Do we have a video? Is there a video of it?
I don't know that there's any video of it.
How many people, like how sophisticated was the setup? Because when we
it was a closed demo. So it's the one person doing the demo. One person presenting the demo from their end, and then the one person with the goggles on.
Yeah, it was like a room probably about like 15 by 15.
It was roughly the size of the patch set is what I said.
Yeah.
And
then you have like your goggles on, headphones, and then these two controllers too.
And that was actually the coolest part of the demo.
Yeah.
Was they put the headset on you, they put the earphones on you, and in my case, they said, look around, what do you see? And I was like, I don't know, I'm in a white room. And they said, hold on. And then like all of a sudden I could see like two controllers.
And she's like, float.
What do you see? Yeah, I see like two controllers. She says, okay, go ahead and reach out and grab them. So I reached out and grabbed them. She said, you just grabbed something in the real world that you've never seen. Like your only frame of reference for it is in virtual reality. And I was like, holy fuck. She's right. I knew exactly where they were.
Yeah.
And I reached out and just grabbed them.
You mean like you can interpret three-dimensional space within a virtual reality?
Right. Like I don't even know what they looked like.
Yeah.
Because in every demo, they recontextualized and were different. Because
you put on the goggles before they give you those controllers, so you don't know what they look like.
I've heard that they've done demos with multiple people with the headsets on, and they've thrown one controller between them, and like they can catch it in midair. It's that precise.
Whoa.
I think my favorite demo, though, was the painting one.
That was pretty cool.
There's one where you get like, you have your two controllers, and you could select colors on one like a palette, and then you dip your paintbrush from your other controller into it, and you could paint, but it's 3D. So if you paint like a happy face, you could walk through it and see on the other side of where you painted. So I was just doing this like rainbow brush and going all around myself. And the guy doing the demo, he's like, yeah, go crazy. Go crazy.
Bob Ross type guy.
Put some rainbows all around you. And I'm like, okay.
Make one of those happy little clouds. Just put it right at the top.
There. Apparently, I think it was Matt Peake or Spool or maybe Joel Rubin.
I think it was Joel Rubin.
Joel Rubin painted a naked woman in his demo.
He put his arm around her.
Something I don't think I could ever do in a 3D environment, I don't think ever in my life, is play one of the horror games seen.
Oh.
I don't think I could ever actually do that.
Because I
like PT.
Normally.
Yeah, I think it would mess me up so much psychologically because, I'm already way out there. But like, if I have... Just the demos I've seen, like, there'll be, like, a flashing light in a hallway, like a flickering light. And then you'll see something, a figure at the far end of the hallway. And then the light will flash off. And then it'll flash on again. And then the figure's a little closer. And then it'll flash off. And then flash on again. And then the figure's really close. And then it flashes off. And then it's right in your face screaming.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, I think that would just, it'd be over for
that
me.
That doesn't sound fun to me. It just sounds like, you're just
terrifying.
Here for the adrenaline and, like, the fright.
Right, because, like...
Fun.
The thing about playing games and stuff is just kind of, all right, but if you're in it, really,
you can't look away.
Close your eyes?
I guess you close your eyes, but you're just, it's so immersive, it's tricked your brain.
Right. Yeah, and
which is any horror does, but.
And sometimes they do other things too, like the Game of Thrones simulation, they shot air at you too.
Right,
so they
create textural
things, like ghosts coming at you and you like feel the air, you just like shit yourself. Like someone's going to die. Like
no, I mean, that's
I'm
being serious about that. I think that could really cause severe panic attacks or anxiety attacks or a heart attack. I don't know. It's so overwhelming.
It's dangerous, yeah.
When in any kind of – when your nightmares can become real like that, when has that ever existed in history? Like besides real war and stuff like that. It's like, wow, this is as real as it can possibly get without actually being at a ghost. That's just – I don't think humans can really – deal with that really well.
The Funhouse guys got to like try out the demos, I think, a little more than we did because I actually went to Valve and did that stuff. But Matt Peake was telling me that he was doing the simulation he does. You get him in a room alone without other people. But he said that it was a simulation where the floor opened up in front of him. And he said that like he knew he was just if he just stepped forward, nothing would happen. But his brain was telling him not to. So he, like, couldn't walk forward without, like, putting his foot out and, like, tapping on the ground, like, ahead of him. It's crazy how, like, immersive it is.
Could you imagine? I don't know how detailed your dreams are, but if you had your worst nightmare in the world and you knew every single detail, paying to have somebody program it and create it.
Nope.
No?
Yeah.
Well, what's your biggest nightmare?
I'm not going to say.
Well, you think someone's out there going to start making
someone's
this simulation?
Someone's going to use it against me somehow.
So you're saying if someone programmed me running out of beer and, like, they put it into a machine. And,
oh,
like,
my God.
3D. Yeah. That would be, I don't know how I'd be able to cope. Again, heart attack.
You'd be okay.
Is what would happen.
You'll get through it.
No, never.
So are they going to sell those for, like, consumers?
Yeah.
Well,
I think
it's coming out sometime. I think they said it's coming out by the end of the year, but I think realistically it'll be like next year.
I mean, what's the application? Because I remember doing the Oculus Rift. Yeah. Like, there's like 30 dudes who were there setting it up and making sure it's working right. Like, I can't imagine taking anything like that home and just plugging it in.
Well, it's not consumer level yet. These are still demos. They're still technical demos. It's not, like, packaged and ready for an end user yet.
I'm just saying, like, how possible it is to even get it to that point.
I mean, very possible, right? Isn't that coming up, like, now?
I think every VR headset's coming out early next year. The Oculus, the Vive, the Sony Morpheus. I mean, they all, I think, have it figured out.
What are they are? What are they doing? Like, what's the application?
I mean, the one I tried out, that could be consumer easily. You just need someone to, like,
I think, in fact,
for you.
The airplane demo, I think that's going to be a full game.
Okay.
So
you
I
must be excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that.
Crash Simulator 2016. Yeah, you're just sitting in a passenger seat in the airplane.
I want that. Can we recreate famous air disaster?
Yeah, oh, God.
And
why
I can
would
pick
you
my
want
seat.
To experience
yes,
that?
Yes, I want this.
You know every part of it,
up.
Too. Like, the one engine shuts down, you look out the window, you're like, this is going to be getting all the other passengers are scared. Yeah. You're like, I can't wait till it flips like that.
That's why
I want to see. Oh, yes. And then if you could fly the plane while the disasters are happening.
You stand up, you're like, let me try it. And you actually cause more of it. You're like, this took too long originally. I'm going to really nosedive
so
it.
This
weird.
Is why we should be paid. To be like consultants, like on real planes when stuff happens, because we've seen the shit.
I wonder.
Could you imagine of the instances of rogue pilots, you know, where they lock the doors and stuff? Mm-hmm. If in the 3D simulator, you go up and you're like, I'll go up, and you knock on the door and he lets you in and you just hang out with him while he's being a rogue pilot so you can see from the other side of the door.
Okay, now you're being weird.
All right.
That's weird. That's the line.
You've gone too far, Aaron.
I saw Gus's eyes, and he's like, I'm going to ask the developer to do that. Like,
that's so awesome. I love it. I want to make that game. Make that simulation.
Yeah.
I also want to mention that I started reading The Martian due to your recommendation.
Great, great book.
It is so good. I'm almost done.
I've never seen Barbara read before, and like she's really eating up this book. Like, what, two,
read,
three pages
read.
A day, I think. And it's, I mean, it's insane. And she barely asked me, like, what words are, like, which words are which.
Yeah.
Like, it's really.
Well, she
you
reads
know
right to left,
book.
Right? I mean, that's the big thing.
What?
She reads right to left,
oh,
right?
Oh, I've been reading it backwards.
You were salty. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But it's, I mean, I could.
It's a good book.
You're almost through it, and you started just
a
couple days
ago.
Well,
you were asking me something, and I was like, oh, just after I finished this chapter, and you're like,
I've never
heard you say that before.
I need an answer now. Put down that book.
There's very few books I get into.
I think the audiobook version for that is like 10 and a half hours long.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like a super fast read, but I mean, it's.
No, I mean, I started reading it on the plane on the way home from Seattle, which is a 4-hour flight, and I finished half of it.
Yeah.
So I was really into it.
Yeah. I want to read it next.
You will? I'll lend it to you. I never get it back, just like the book you lent me a while ago.
What did I? I lent you Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Typical book.
Gave it to me like a year ago.
Yeah, that book is so quick to read. Literally, you can read that in like 3 hours.
Jeff has a DVD that I lent him 11 years ago. It's R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, that's such an amazing
movie! I know!
Movie.
I haven't seen it in 11 years!
God.
Because someone kept my fucking DVD!
I try to play
that's
it for
11
people.
Years old?
Something like that.
Yeah. I try to show people.
Older. Maybe 10, but I think it's like 11
oh,
years
God.
Old.
People don't understand how brilliant that thing is.
Fucking amazing.
It's so
it's
awesome.
Opus. what it is.
You should get it back.
It's a midget.
I have his Sipple and Ollie DVD held hostage until...
It's for the trade.
Until I get my R. Kelly trapped in the closet.
You said Sibyl?
Sipple and Ollie.
Oh.
Do you not know Sipple and Ollie?
I thought you were talking about the show Sibyl.
Anybody? Sibyl and Ollie?
No, I don't know what that is.
We're talking about all the current programming. Sibyl, Under Siege 2.
Sibyl and Ollie was a sock puppet show.
It's right
show.
Up your alley here.
What's next? Air Bud and whatever Pauly Shore movie was hot in 94?
Casino Man?
Air Bud lost a leg.
What?
Who cares?
He probably already... He's also probably dead.
Probably.
He's definitely dead.
That movie came out in what, 94?
They went through like 3 Air Buds. Then they just kept dying. That's what happened.
That's what happens to dogs. Dogs die. Thank you for bringing that up, Aaron.
That's true. I think I bring that up every time I come on.
Now he's an air dud.
Hey.
Boom!
No, that's it. All right. I was going to
That took me like 3 minutes to try to say.
I'm trying to. This is Sipple and Ollie. This is Sipple and Ollie.
It was just
like a TV show with 2 sock puppets.
Yeah.
That one, the black one, looks like the dragon from How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh my God, it totally does.
It does. You think that's where they got inspiration?
They totally stole it.
It's stolen.
Do you know, like, the Tokyo Olympics had to change their logo?
Yeah.
Because they realized that the guy might have just completely ripped it off from some, like, obscure German graphic designer.
It's extremely similar. There are, like, he just basically like redoubled one of the graphics and like just kind of rearranged some of the elements. Have you not heard about this?
Yeah. No. I think like he
didn't. If
y'all
can pull it up and find it, the Tokyo Olympics plagiarism.
I don't think he's admitted that, but he did acknowledge that he has like lifted other stuff that he's done from other people. So he's like, not this one, but I have kind of like stolen some stuff before.
Really messed up.
Allegedly. I don't want to get sued.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's pretty common in design or art and stuff like that, but not like blatant just copying. You know, I mean, it happens. It's just the people who lose are the ones who get caught. You know, it happens so often. But that's such a big scale thing, such a large thing.
We saw so much Ruby stuff ripped off at Supernova when we were there. Mm. We walked around the vendor floor for a little bit, and I counted at least 8 booths that had Ruby stuff they were selling.
Was Matt there?
No.
I saw when we were at PAX, you know, we were signing, someone brought by, like, some Ruby fan art that they had purchased, I think, at like San Diego Comic-Con or something. And of course I'm like, oh, you know, it's not cool that someone's selling it. It's like, it's cool that you like the show, but it was actually a really cool like concept. And I was like, so Emily was there, who runs the store, so I was like, can I borrow this? I took it from the person. I was like, I showed it to Emily. I was like, we should be making this.
Yeah.
Like, this is actually a really cool idea. And then I took it back to the
I mean, the fan art's amazing and it's really cool that people make it, but yeah, it's always that weird line of, oh, well, they're selling this and making money off of our IP, and it's just like kind of awkward.
I still think I have the Iraqi DVD of
seasons
1 through 10 of Red versus Blue.
Did 1 through 10, was it? It was like 1 through 6.
Or 1 through 6.
Didn't you tell me that on one of our discs, I think it's season 1, there's something that's spelled wrong, but on the pirated version, they spelt it right?
Yeah. On the original DVD, there's a typo, but there's a pirated, a bootleg version, basically, that fixed our typo.
Yeah.
That's awfully nice of them.
Well, they put like all the movies on one disc, and like the big thing at the front was like new DVD technology that now you could fit 9 movies on one DVD.
Super high resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not.
The artwork was awesome.
Yeah.
It was.
I don't even know what that was from. I'm sure they just did a Google search for Red versus Blue and found random things.
Yeah, I think it was like, it was purchased in like a market in Iraq, right? Mm-hmm. So strange.
Yeah, there was a U.S. soldier who was deployed over there and saw the bootleg DVD, so he bought it and sent it to us, and it was cool. it was interesting.
Yeah.
To see. I can't imagine like that market somewhere in Iraq where that guy's like, "Yes, we're gonna sell."
Yeah.
In Iran, we used to rent. I mean, I only went there twice, but in order to rent a movie, we went to a laundromat, and then they had movies that were like in the bottom of like laundry baskets that you would rent and then take home in like a bag, or I don't know, my
like
cousin might have put
it
in his shirt. Yeah.
That's awesome. I thought you were going to say there was like a wall that slid back and then it was like this Blockbuster inside of it, like an actual Blockbuster in Iran. Like that's the last Blockbuster.
There's one in Monterey, Mexico.
Really?
Blockbuster.
There's
still
around?
Yeah. I wanted to go take pictures.
Is that it? Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Well, yep. That's, yeah.
It's hard to argue that.
That's also a terrible logo for the Tokyo Olympics. Yeah. I mean, let's just real talk here.
What is that even, like, what did they intend for that to be?
I think they incorporated, like, the red rising sun into, like, sun. A T for Tokyo.
And then, like, it maybe makes an O, and there's probably every letter of Tokyo in there. Well,
have you ever noticed that about the Toyota logo?
Yeah, yeah, that's the deal with the Toyota logo.
Is it summer or winter coming up in 2020?
2020.
That'll be Summer Olympics, right? Because Summer Olympics are going to be next year. 2016, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so 2020 would be
Summer Olympics. Next year's London Olympics?
No.
What was that like? Summer. That already happened.
Yeah, that already happened. That was like
2012, right?
What year is this?
It might have been earlier than that. Was it 2012?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
It's like winter. Is it every 2 years?
Yeah.
Olympics? 2 years in Olympic and then
okay,
4 years
the
for
World
everyone.
Cup, that's every 4 years.
Yes. Because the Olympics used to be every 4 years. They would do summer and winter, and then they broke them up.
So
back
summer.
In my day. We had all our Olympics in 1 year.
Because at first I thought that was like supposed to be like a little slope, like a ski slope or something, but it's not.
Here, I got one more thing to read. Want to remind everyone, this episode of the podcast is also brought to you by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com/roosterteeth. With Squarespace, your site will look professionally designed regardless of skill level. No coding required. They have an intuitive, easy-to-use tools. And Squarespace has state-of-the-art technology powering your site to ensure security and stability. Trusted by millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world, Squarespace starts at $8 a month, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. Start your free trial site today with no credit card required at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to visit squarespace.com/roosterteeth for a free trial and to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful. I built a Squarespace site I didn't tell anyone about.
Oh, really?
I can talk about it now because it's been a while, but when I sold my house like a little over a year ago, I was like, I don't know, it's taking a little while to sell my house. Like, I'm gonna build a website for it. So I went in and like built a Squarespace site. I uploaded all of my like photos of my house.
Did you do it as if like the house made
that's
the website?
That's what I was thinking.
Hey guys, I'm free.
Not really. It was just like a generic like house information website, just so like if people like looked for
link to its Twitter account,
the house, like they could find like pictures and information. It was really easy to use. Highly recommend it.
Is it still up?
No, it's not. It's gone now. That's why I can talk about it now. I didn't want people finding it and finding out where I lived, even though I guess I was selling the house.
Still though.
It was just weird. But it was super easy. Great. Used one of the templates. Beautiful. Website. Easy. A few minutes. Done.
The best simple website I think I ever saw was that guy who was having a fundraiser to try and raise money so he wouldn't cook his rabbit, his pet rabbit. And he had this you saw that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No.
What? It's this guy who had this pet rabbit that he, you know, had a name, it had a backstory and all this stuff, and he's like, listen, I've come under hard times. I don't want to have to eat this rabbit. So to save this rabbit's life, we're having a fundraiser. I'm trying to earn.
So he was pressuring people to give him money so he wouldn't kill his rabbit.
He made so much money.
I would not. Rabbits are not nice.
That's
rabbits
are
not.
That's like robbing a bank and going in with a note saying, if you don't give me money, I'm going to shoot this girl. And you hold it like a picture of like a little girl or
something.
What's
even worse, it's a rabbit. It's like a rabbit.
They're
like
not nice. They're not nice, sweet creatures.
But it's cute.
There was a rabbit. Penny the Pug got bit by a rabbit as like a puppy. And like for now, like forever, she just has this big scar, which is actually good because, you know.
Well,
it's,
wild animals in general, no matter what they are usually not nice. A domesticated rabbit's probably sweet.
I don't know. I think a rabbit's
good. You know
gonna...
how much money you'd make if you made a website and you said, listen, I'm encountering hard times. I need to make X amount or I'm sending Penny on a little boat. Like, away from here. Like, people would give you $100,000 immediately to save Penny. And then you'd never do anything to Penny, of course, because Penny is, you know, great. But, you know, it's
just...
But
that rabbit sucked.
If we were all trapped and we had nothing to eat and Penny the Pug was there, I get it. I know we'd all want to eat her.
I think you'd...
I just want to let you... We don't have to avoid that awkward situation.
What? I think you would eat your fiance before you would eat the pug. And I'm just throwing that out
I was going to say the same thing. I didn't want to be the one to break the ice on that one, but...
I'll gladly break the ice. I'm like a fat penguin here. I think you would... It's pretty good, huh? I think you would eat Paula before you'd eat the pug.
I wanted to get like a little engagement collar or something for Penny and be like, there you go. But that might have been a bit too far.
Are you marrying the pug?
Well, she's in the family.
Is she going to be part of your wedding party?
I want her to be like the little like ring bearer, but she's so dumb. She would never get it.
Get a really long leash and just like tug her down the aisle.
Or food. Or
reel her in.
Like, or put food down.
You just have a fishing reel and you're just like going like that. She's like.
Yeah, just put a trail of like slices of hot dogs.
Yeah.
Or cheese or something. Yeah, she'll get up
the flower
the
girl ends up eating them. No.
Gross.
That'd be so cute.
The other day I was sitting here. What were we doing? Oh, we were doing practice run for some on-the-spot stuff. And we were sitting right over here. We were sitting on bar stools. And there were a couple of us sitting around a circle, and John was there, obviously. And Miles was there. And Miles walked up, and he was drinking water out of a cup. And he sat on his bar stool and put the water glass on the ground and then rested his feet on the bar stool, like, right above it. And, like, it was just freaking me out the whole time. We sat there for a couple minutes, and I said, does it not bother you that your feet are, like, rubbing up against that bar stool and probably just dropping everything from the bottom of your shoes directly into your water? He goes, oh, no, didn't think about that. Reached up, reached down, grabbed the water, and just, like, chugged it all.
You probably died a little
inside. I died
just there.
A lot inside.
You have a thing about shoes and feet. Yeah. Like, you won't sign
like that.
Shoes.
Not like a sex thing.
No, like a phobia.
Yeah.
Can it be both?
I'm disgusted and aroused.
Yeah. That's probably how they get you to conquer your phobia, though. Is like I've read that with OCD people and stuff like that. Like if you have to wash your hands or do a bunch of stuff, like they'll get you to lick a sink or get you to like touch a toilet without
like,
washing
do
your
the
hands.
Extremes.
Like,
no,
they'll stream it on the internet.
What?
Charge people to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. It's so what they would make you do, Gus, is just lick Miles's feet. Until you got all the dirt off.
And call him your
princess. See, I don't have a problem, so no, I'm not going
to
do that.
I disagree. I think you have to lick Miles' feet to get over your
problems. I think it's
the
only way we can make this happen.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely not happening. like, shoes are so dirty and gross to me. I just think about...
These are brand new.
I think about everything that's on the ground, and it's just filthy. I can't deal with that.
You know what?
The bottoms of your shoes are really clean, actually.
Well, these are new shoes.
They're white. You have whites on the bottom of your shoes?
I just got these shoes... And what you were saying, though, whenever I think of a shoe and think about how dirty they are, I think of walking around in Sixth Street and going to the bathroom. So, like, going to a bar in, like, Maggie Mae's or the library or whatever the case is. Like, it's already an inch of filth water in the bathroom, and my feet go through that. And then whenever I think about touching the bottom of it, I just think of those bars.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about all the time.
Really?
Is how dirty Sixth Street is.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't it Gavin who said, I think it was Gavin. He said he went to the bathroom one time while we were going swimming, and he didn't have his shoes on. He went to the bathroom and realized how much his piss was spraying onto his feet.
You don't realize it. As a guy, I still haven't figured out how to properly use a urinal. I don't know if you guys have, but like when you use it, you spray your feet with piss and your legs.
No,
with piss,
the key is to hold. As you just like hold
what?
Hold, and then you just like hit it with like all the force you can.
But then there's
that's
more
incorrect.
Like rebound, more splash.
Isn't it like more splash?
Oh, so you're worried about that. I'm worried about like, you know,
what?
Once it comes
to we're worried about what we're talking about.
No, there's other ways. Like if it's not, the stream isn't strong enough. If it starts like,
what,
you know,
talking
like
about pissing
splattering.
On your feet or something?
Are you talking about like a fire hose just like going all over the place?
Yeah.
Or like trickling out.
No, like, okay, so if it's just, the stream isn't, and then it's like, you know, with the opening and it's everywhere.
God, no. That's
is that not how yours works?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We're talking about angles. We're talking about when you get to the urinal and you're taking a piss, there's no correct angle. What you
there
think,
is a correct angle.
No, there
you
isn't.
You go down and to the left.
Well, I go down to the right. And it's still not the correct angle because it doesn't work every time.
Some urinals will have like stickers in them. Showing you like where the optimal angle
that
is.
That is bullshit.
You've never seen this?
That's bullshit.
Look this up. Look up like urinal sticker or like urinal aim. I don't know.
You know some guy just came in there and put that sticker in there.
It's like
yeah, right
band.
Here.
It's like, see my bandit. Mo-talk.
It's on the ground.
There's one point, I don't know why I didn't have shoes on. I'm probably swimming and I had to go to the bathroom and I was like, it's probably really gross underneath that urinal. So I was like, I bet I can make it like 3 feet away.
No.
And I nailed it.
You're the, no.
Three
because
feet?
There's so much falling.
There's drippings from the arc. Like, the
well,
arc
then,
goes.
People better wear shoes.
It's so, like.
Man.
And then not touch the shoes.
Oh, God, you just reminded me. I threw my shoes in the washing machine this morning and completely forgot. Thank you.
What shoes were
Someone forget me. Remind me.
Someone forget me.
Lots of people have forgotten you, Brandon.
Aww.
I guess you guys have strong streams.
That's not strong. It's angles.
Don't include me in this.
I've definitely...
Do you think... okay. Maybe slightly inappropriate conversation. We can cut this if need be because we're not live. Do you think volume-wise, that women pee faster than men? Like, if you had, like, I don't know, a pint container, and you told a man, and you told a woman, fill this with piss, who could do it faster?
I think it's equal.
I don't know, man.
It depends on urethras, doesn't right. it?
I had a girlfriend who, like, she went into the bathroom so fast, and I was like, do you wash your hands? And she's like, yeah, and I believed her. So I just don't know if she, like, got there. This ex-girlfriend. Not going to go. Yeah, just, like, I just shot it all out.
I would,
like,
think girls would pee faster.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Because there's less distance to travel from your bladder to the opening.
Huh. But you've got to do all that. You got to lift the seat, and you've got to use the toilet
I think we're just talking about just the act of urine being released into the toilet.
Oh, yeah, just
expelling I thought you were
urine from the body.
Total experience.
No. Just like, who could, in a race, who could fill the container faster?
Oh.
You have to take toilet paper and put it on the seat, and then...
Yeah.
I
typed who pees into Google, because I type who pees faster, men or women. Uh-huh. First autocomplete, who pees on Drake?
Oh, so, hey, weren't you saying something about R. Kelly? You have a saying?
Who pees on Monica and Friends?
Do you think if it's like you took like a liter of Coke and put it upside down and just opened the cap and it's just like, that just falls out?
But I've...
The opening is wide
open. Women pee, it doesn't sound like a... and then it's done. It sounds like a when a guy is peeing, right? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then why would it be more? I don't understand.
What do you mean more? More pee?
Like quicker or...
Greater volume.
Greater volume is what I meant to say.
Greater volume. I don't know.
Maybe. You're talking about blood. What is that?
Oh, is this the sticker?
That's a lie. I've never seen that sticker.
You've never
before.
Seen that? Yeah. Like they'll put like a bug or something that you aim at.
No, that's one of those
isn't
stickers.
That just
that's, that, that is not a normal North American urinal shape, but that's the idea.
Urinal?
That's one of those stickers that says drugs are sold here.
Would you ask
if you lick that bee, you get really high?
Yeah, that's LSD.
Would you add if instead of a bee, it was a face?
There's a man. What bar is that in Austin where it's just a big open mouth that you pee into?
Interesting.
Is it the aquarium?
I don't know. Maybe it's just a mouth that's open like that, and it's
well. There's a bar where the urinals are in front of like a one-way mirror.
That's definitely the aquarium.
Yeah,
the aquarium.
And you just look at people.
That's really satisfying weird. When you're doing that because you're like, I'm peeing, and they can't tell anything. But sometimes, and I've done this before, you go up to the one-way mirror and you know where the bottom of the urinal is, and you just look. You can't see anything, but you know the person on the other side of the mirror is like, this guy's looking at my
dick.
Yeah. Give him a wink.
Weird.
Yeah, just or you're just disappointed.
Take out your phone. Just like,
I saw a picture. This is like something that was circulating on Reddit a long time ago. But it's this line of urinals where there's a woman behind each urinal, like going like, or like pointing or something. And she's like, God, I would never want to use one of those because it's like they're making fun of you.
Is it real women or the pictures?
Pictures of real women.
Huh. No, there's real women in the back.
I'm talking about the one-way mirrors. And if they had a woman strategically placed behind each mirror looking down like this.
That would encourage you?
What?
Would that encourage you?
No, I don't want anyone staring at me peeing. I don't want anyone to see that.
Yeah.
That's not...
You have like some performance anxiety?
Look at that.
That's the one. This is what I'm talking about.
That's a little... That's too
like,
much.
Also weird urinals. Where are these people?
I assume that's in Europe somewhere.
It's like an ice cream cone. So weird.
There are some bathrooms in Austin where it's just a bunch of like naked pictures of women in the guy's restroom, and like that's it's just a wall of it above the urinals.
Is
and,
it
like,
a bar?
There's a few bars like that.
I don't want that.
Why would you? Why you
that's
put that? It's
terrible.
Weird.
Also, like, yeah, what's the purpose?
Because it gets really
that?
Awkward when you're like peeing there, and then you're finished peeing, and you're still staring at it, and like everyone else is leaving the urinal, and you're just sitting there with nothing to do, but you have to. You're staring. So
I thought you were going to say, it's really awkward when you're finished peeing and all of a sudden you get a boner. And then you have to stay there.
Always have the boner.
Dude, is it possible to use one of those astronaut pee hoses, like, not in zero gravity? Like, if I bought one, could I use it? Or does it only work if your urine is...
You're talking about the vacuum cleaner ones?
Yeah, like when you're in space, you just got a hose and you just pee in a hose. Right? There's not a hole in the wall. You don't go in the hole.
Just buy a Floby.
Yeah.
Just attach it to the end of your
full
dick.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Because that seems like, I mean, I get that for the house.
Something that has suction in it that you just.
It's just like, then you're one and done.
one and done.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
like in the space station?
I know what you're talking about. I'm just refusing to acknowledge it.
Smart move.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up. It's time to go.
Oh.
Smart.
Birdie's
have
not here,
have
so
a happy Labor
up.
Day, everybody.
Hope you guys had a good Labor Day. It's over now.
All right.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Vote for us in the streamies. Love
Vote
you.
In the streamies. Bye.
Kisses. Aaron Markless.
It's strange we have Labor Day, but we've broken all the unions.